Amen. Now, a couple of thoughts. I'm going to read something this morning. Just, if you would, turn over to Philemon. I want to take a look at verse 6. It's just one chapter here in Philemon. And if you hit Hebrews, just go to chapter 1 and you'll run into it. Back up. But I want to take a look at verse 6, and I want to take a look at this a little bit this morning because you'll see the significance of it. I'm going to read just briefly. I have a daily devotional by Rick Renner. He's a Greek scholar. He's a pastor in Russia, has a church in Moscow, but he also is a Greek scholar. And I have a daily devotional, and he discusses this particular verse on one of the days in the year on Philemon 6. And I'm just going to excerpt, I excerpted a few things out so that we get a better idea of just exactly what that means. And again, it helps because he is a Greek scholar, he has studied Greek. And it's Greek to me, but for him, he reads the Greek Bible. I mean, he reads in Greek, and I'm like, great, thank you. Thank God that somebody has studied it and can expound and give some insight. But in the sixth verse, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And what he shares, I'm going to just read this here, so stay connected with me. He said the word effectual is the Greek word energeo. It's from where we get the word energy. And he said, in this verse, energeo carries the idea of something that has suddenly become energized or activated. So that puts a different meaning here. So we read sometimes in the King James, it presents itself one way. So he said, Paul's words can actually be rendered that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated. Oh boy, that's exciting to me. So when you speak, the communication of your faith energizes and activates something. Oh, yes. But it's how. It says by. So we see something is getting energized and activated by. By what? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So he makes this point when he says activated and energized. He says here, it's like putting a key in the ignition of a car. Once the engine has been activated, the potential in the car is ready to be unleashed. So you could have a car sitting in the driveway. You got a 500 horsepower engine, full of gas, ready to go. And you don't turn it on. It's not activated. It's not energized. So the full potential of that is not realized. And that's what he's talking about. That the communication of your faith, the speaking part of your faith, energizes and activates this, the potential of what you've received in Christ. So this word acknowledging is from the Greek word epignosis. It's a big word. Don't worry about it. He said, which describes a well-instructed, this is what he's bringing out in the Greek. It describes a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. So you becoming knowledgeable of who you've become in Christ and communicating it activates something. It energizes something. This is not something you just get while you're sleeping. No. This is something where you study the Word of God, you meditate upon the Word of God, and you become knowledgeable of what's been possessed for you. And you do what? You communicate it. You speak it. You release it. It energizes God in you. See? It energizes what's been purchased for you. Boy, I tell you, this is exciting to me. See, this is all part of taking our place in Christ. You can't take your rightful place in Christ until you become knowledgeable, as he calls it, well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. So this is a person, as he writes here, is so sure of the information that when he speaks, he does so with confidence and boldness. This is somebody who knows the facts and is meditative on them. And when they speak, they know it, and they're confident. Cast not away their confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he is faithful that promised. See? So when you know what you've got in Christ, and it's in you, you can speak with confidence and boldness. And that is what happens when you communicate. Says that the communication of your faith is effectual. It energizes something by the acknowledging of what you've got, the purchased possessions. See, isn't that wonderful? That's good news. That gives us some insight. And he said here, I'm just going to read a little more what he shared. He said, the word epignosis depicts a well-instructed, intensive, deep knowledge of the facts. Paul is letting us know that it is essential for you to possess a knowledge of exactly who you are in Christ, number one. Two, a knowledge of what Jesus has purchased in your redemption. So you know this. A knowledge of every good thing that God has placed in you by Jesus Christ. And a knowledge of all the truths that is so concrete and so unshakable that you are immovable in what you think and believe. Nobody can shake you from what you think and believe, and you communicate it. You speak it. So that when situations arise in your life, you speak to it. You say, no, no, that's not me. That's not mine. That doesn't pertain to me. And you are so convinced. See, the power of God is released in your behalf. This is walking by faith. The communication of your faith is effectual. We walk by faith and not by sight. Everybody grab hold of this. You're the spirit of this. What does it say? It says, so that... let me just read this scripture verse again here. Another scripture verse that comes to mind. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, see, it's written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So when you get a knowledge of the facts and you've studied and meditated on it, the faith comes and we believe and we do what? We speak. We communicate this faith that we have. But it comes from a study and a meditation in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And this is part of this. So this knowledge is the key that will set you free. And as he writes, he said, before you can confess the truth, you must first know the truth. Let me read a scripture, John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, verse 32. And if you continue in his word, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know means to have a personal knowledge of. That word gnosko in the Greek means to have a personal, intimate knowledge with the Word of God. It means to be acquainted with. Same thing. Same thing. Think about this. So I'm just reading a little more here. It said that the confession of your mouth, your acknowledgement of the truth, is what sparks these spiritual blessings and causes them to become operative, activated, and manifested realities. Think about Joshua 1:8. Same thing. Same scripture. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do. Right? And then what else does it say? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So you're going to have to meditate in the word. You don't want to let it depart out of your mouth. You want to observe to do these, and said, this will make your way prosperous. It's energized. It's activated in your life. This is exactly what Philemon is saying. Same thing. This is how we take our rightful place in Christ. And this righteousness that's been secured, the right standing that we have, gives us access to the promises of God. But if we don't meditate in them, see, this is something here. Let me just, this scripture verse came to mind in Ephesians. It talks about having a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. But look at verse 18. I'll just read it to you. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you've got to embrace that. You've got to say, Father, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him so that I may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of this inheritance that you've put in me. I'm not just bumping around, that the Holy Ghost is revealing it to me. He's making it known to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're his workmanship. So here's a point that we're making here. People who know the truth remain in bondage because they never align their mouths with the truth. Instead of speaking of what God says about them, they ridicule themselves. They put themselves down and speak badly about themselves. They possess all the potential that God has placed inside them, but they never experience that potential because their mouths have never sparked or activated those spiritual blessings into becoming manifested realities. That's a whole lot I'm saying here, but the point is you've got to get your mouth in line and begin to communicate your faith of what's been done. It energizes and activates the spiritual blessings that have been possessed for us. What spiritual blessings? Wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, redemption, sanctification, all of these things, health, blessings, prosperity, peace, all of these things that have been secured for us, if we walk around knocking ourselves and saying, I'm a dummy, or I don't know what to do, I'm so tired, I'm so sick, I'm so poor, I lack, then you will never release or activate or energize these blessings to be manifested in our lives. Won't happen. Just won't happen. Brother Hagin said something. I was listening to something recently. Some of you have heard it, some of you didn't. But when he was alive, and he used to say this, Jesus appeared to me. He said one of the last times he appeared to me, he said he put his finger in the palms of my hands, and he said, I've given you a special anointing to lay hands upon the sick. How many heard him say that? And he'd say, and in order for it to work, he said, you have to tell the people that when I lay hands upon you, the healing power of God will be released and administered to you. How many heard him say that? And he said, it won't work if you don't tell the people. And he also said that what they do with it after they receive it is key. So if I went over to you and I said, here's some money, you do what? You take it, you receive it. Now, what you do with that money after it, I could give you $1,000 and you could stick this in your pocket and not do anything with it. What you do with it is key. It will not benefit you. And so that's the point, that whether it's the blessings of God, what does it say? Ye are complete in Christ. Turn over to Ephesians for a minute. What does it say in Ephesians, first chapter? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. So he hath blessed us with spiritual blessings. What is my responsibility? I receive these spiritual blessings. I receive this blessings of wisdom and redemption and righteousness. I receive it. And now that I have it, how do I activate it? By the communication of my faith, I activate and energize by acknowledging the good things that he's given me. Oh boy, does that make sense? I activate it, I energize it. See, he's given it to me, but if I don't take it, if I don't receive it, ain't doing nothing. Nada. Not going to help us. But you've got to receive it. But here's the thing. If I receive it and don't do anything with it, it doesn't benefit me. So I've got to take that and say, I begin to do what? Activate it, energize it by doing what? Communicating, saying with my mouth, I'm blessed. I have the peace of God. I have the strength of God. I've got the peace of God. I've got the wisdom of God operating in and through me. When I don't have it, when I don't see something, I've got to activate and energize the blessings of God with what? My faith. How do you release your faith? With what you say, with what you communicate. Everybody getting hold of this today? I wanted to take a little moment and just kind of pull that together a little bit. It was just in my heart too. Was stirring in my heart, because sometimes we share a lot and people are like, well, how does that all connect? How does that all work? That's how it works. And you can see other scripture that pulls that together. These other scriptures. Amen. So we need to open our mouth and start acknowledging who we are in Christ. So righteousness has provided not only this right standing with God, but righteousness has established or reestablished faith. You know, you couldn't even have right standing with God without the shed blood of Christ. You know, I thought about something that I was meditating on yesterday as I was just going over these notes. How many would agree that God is sovereign? We all do. He's a sovereign God. Now, there's some things that God does do sovereignly. We know that. But then there's some things he cannot operate sovereignly. It requires the will of man. Because if that was the case, he would just save everybody without them having to make a choice. See, now we know the scripture, and we'll get there in a moment, just as a kind of a refresh here. But something that E.W. Kenyon shared in this book here, he said that there are two phases to righteousness. I thought this was a good point he made. There are two phases or two steps to righteousness. He said the first step is that God declares us righteous. That's the first step. God set to every man's account righteousness. It's the first step. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, some of these other translations add a little more meaning to it. The Complete Jewish Bible says this, by God's grace, without earning it, all are granted the status of being considered righteous before him through the act redeeming us from our enslavement to sin that was accomplished by the Messiah, Yeshua. So the sacrifice of Christ, when sin was paid for. See, now here's another thing. Think about this. God even needed Jesus' agreement. He had to agree to do it. So God didn't even act sovereignly there. He sent Jesus, and Jesus had to agree to do it. He had to will to do it. He said, I don't do my own will. I do the will of the Father. But he had to agree to come to this earth. So even there, God didn't just say, he didn't override Jesus' will. So he acted justly and righteously. He didn't act sovereignly in that case. Would you not agree? See, these are some thoughts that when you think about how redemption came, he needed a man. Romans says in chapter 8, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, I think it's verse 3, and for sin. So he came as a man, sinless, but he agreed to come. And he was a man, sinless, but God was in him. He set aside his divine privileges and came here on our behalf to redeem mankind. So we have to then say, look, I'm going to agree with what's been purchased for me. And I'm going to decree it. So this first phase is that God declares us righteous. The second phase of righteousness is we've become new creations. So we then receive what's already been set to our account and it becomes a reality. So this new creation, this divine life becomes a reality then. So every person in God's eyes, we have to see people through God's eyes and through the blood of Jesus. Every person, good or bad, evil or vile, righteousness has been set to their account. Because if it wasn't, they couldn't even approach a holy God. They couldn't. So it's already been set. They've been free as far as God's concerned. All they have to do is receive it and speak it, and it becomes a reality. It's what we were saying before. It becomes activated in their life. Their hearts are changed. So this, I want to jump over here. The wonderful thing about this is we're in covenant with God. Talking about possessing righteousness. We're in covenant with God. I was thinking about the words of Brother Morris. We're in covenant with God, relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it also, this is what I think, and now we're the sons of God. Now we're the sons of God. Think of all the scriptures. I just quick jotted them down. Romans, John 1:12. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're sons of God. And so that's why you need to communicate this. You need to speak it. I'm a son of God. I'm in right standing with God. I have a relationship with God. How? Through the blood of Jesus. My sins have been forgiven. My past doesn't pertain to me. 1 John 3:1, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You are a son of God. You have kingly lineage. You have royalty. You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation that should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. You're a son and a child of God. And this is what happens when you speak it, when you communicate it, it energizes God in you to begin to manifest this fruit of sonship. This is just, I don't know how to say it. It's in my spirit. It's strong. It's just, man, I mean, somebody just start talking negative. You go, whoa, wait a minute. Don't you know who you are? You know, if you had family members that were royalty and they'd like, I don't know, we just trying to, they say, whoa, wait a minute, don't you know who you are? You're in this family. You're a king, you're royalty. Don't you know? And obviously they don't. You see. And this is the piece that your mind has to be renewed. So let's jump over 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at this again. These truths, I don't even want to call them basic because they're so profound that when you meditate on them more and more, they're your life, your foundation that you live off of. This is who you are. This is who you've become. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the King James says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or holding against them their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That means we're supposed to tell people, God loves you. You know, there was a man that came, when I was up to Pennsylvania a few weeks ago. He came up and he and another guy accepted Christ. And I found out afterwards that this man had been raised kind of in a, you know, he was in and out of a Catholic church. But he told someone else, he didn't tell me, that he had been so involved in the mafia that in some of the despicable things that he had done, he said there's no way God could have accepted him. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. And that's what happened. I knew nothing about his past, but I kept sharing about righteousness and being what Jesus did. And just a simple message, and that man came up and accepted Christ. And he said, no one ever told me that God loved me. See, nobody ever told me that. He said, I never heard that in a Catholic church. He said, the first time I heard it. But he had such a despicable past. I didn't ask him what he did. Don't want to know. But you see, people in that predicament, in that life, you know you. You know what you've done. And you say, there's no way a loving God could love me for what I've done to people. Oh, yeah, he laid it all on Jesus. He laid it all on him. All the evil of the world, he laid on him. So that we could be set free. That's why I don't ever take your redemption and your right standing with God lightly. Because there was a great price paid for the evil and the sin. He just didn't pay for it. He became evil and sin for every man. Some evil, you probably would turn, you'd just say, there's no way, that's so gross, I can't even think about it. He paid for that. And he didn't pay for it, he became it. So verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's Christ stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like this. This is another translation. It's called the Blackwelder translation. It says, in our behalf, God identified him with everything in the whole realm of sin, in order that by trusting him, we might become recipients of God's kind of righteousness. The letter's translation says, the Father took the Son, who never had any evil in him, and laid the evil of the universe on him. What a price. So never look at mankind as lost. They're not lost. They were paid for. And every man's account has been set right with God. They just don't know it. That's why we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we've been given the responsibility of sharing the love of God and to walk in love with people. Hallelujah. So this life that we have, let me share this here. Yeah, let me look at this. Turn over to, you're still in Ephesians, or do you back up? I had you go to 2 Corinthians. Go to Ephesians 1 for a moment. Just kind of wrap this up here a little bit. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4 and 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Hallelujah. Listen to this in the Living Bible. It says, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. So he planned to make us holy and without blemish before him. This is not after we die. This is right now. He's made us holy and without blemish before him. Otherwise, you couldn't stand before him. You couldn't even become before God. So he did this before the foundation of the world. He did this before we ever even cared about him. So he made us in his eyes of what Christ would do. He already knew Christ was going to go. And they agreed. But before the foundation of the world, he made us holy and without blame because of what Christ would do. That's exciting to me. So don't ever think that God doesn't love you. Now here's another. You're in Ephesians. Go over to chapter 5 for a minute and look at an example here. Same kind of setting, but he talks about, he uses where Christ and the church is concerned. He inspired Paul to write and use the marriage example. But look at what he says here in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might do what? Sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's who you are right now. That's who you are. You are without spot or blemish, unreprovable before God. That's how he sees you. And if that's how he sees you, then you need to do what? Receive it. And don't just receive it, because it won't benefit you unless you do what? Communicate it. Unless you speak it, which activates and energizes that in your life. It releases the power of God to begin to do what? Change your thinking. Change how you see yourself. The power of God will do that. The power of the Word of God will do what? Renew your mind. It'll begin to change your thinking. Well, hey, wait a minute. This is who I am. I remember, this is years ago, back in the early 80s, I remember seeing T.L. Osborne when he was alive. He was a very short man and walked with a big stature, though. And I remember him at a Kenneth Copeland meeting in the early 80s. He said, when I go to Africa and I get off the plane, he said, when I get off and I step off the plane, I say, royalty has arrived. Because he knew who he was. He never shied away from demons or devils. He never shied away from it. He wasn't afraid of it. As they say, he wasn't a skeered. Here's another verse, same thing, Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies where? In your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You're reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Hallelujah. That's who you are. That's your position in Christ. And in order to take that position, you've got to receive it and you've got to communicate it so that you energize and activate the power of the Word of God in you. Otherwise, it won't work. You'll just bump through life. It will not benefit you. All that was paid for will not benefit you. That would be a travesty. So just a couple of things. We see how we can possess righteousness. But here's a question. What limits using our righteousness? We know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that God is the strength of our lives. We know that we have his ability. We know that he is our sufficiency to meet every crisis in our lives. We know that the word in our lips will heal the sick, strengthen the weak. awaken the unsaved to their condition, bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. All this we know. Why are we so slow to act? That's the question. Why are we so slow to act? One reason is an unrenewed mind. Your mind's not renewed. So after one is born again and comes into the influence of grace, their mind is not in harmony with their recreated spirit. Their mind's not in harmony. So it has to be renewed. This unrenewed mind holds many men and women who might be greatly used of the Lord in a state of uselessness. Their mind's not renewed. So they see themselves one way and God sees them another way. And they talk about what they see, what they experience, what they feel, instead of communicating what the Word says and energizes and activates the power of the Word of God in their life and changes their unrenewed mind. Supernaturally changes it. Because the power of the Word, the power of God, is in the Word of God. And when you speak it in faith, it releases that power. And it begins to change your mind. And you begin to see who you are. You begin to see it. So one of the reasons that we're not taking our place, even in righteousness, we read it and we go, yeah, that's nice. That's great. That's good for them. But what about me? You've got to believe that it's been purchased and paid for. It's already yours. I'm giving it to you. It's a gift from God, the gift of righteousness. He's given it to all mankind. He's given it to us. We have to do what? We have to receive it. We have to believe that it's ours to take. Take it. And then after we take it, we have to do something with it. We've got to speak it. Another reason, and I'll just finish with this, another reason why individuals fail to use their righteousness is because the senses rule their spirit. What they feel, taste, touch, their senses rule their spirit. Fear and unbelief dominate, and they're afraid to take their place in Christ. 1 John 4:16 and 17 and 18, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have" what? "Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." So just kind of, pulling this all together here today, that righteousness, redemption, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So this redemption that's been purchased, this righteousness that's been given to us, we have to believe and receive it. And then after that, we've got to do what? Communicate it. That begins to activate and energize the promises of God. And it's going to take, by the acknowledging, it's going to take a well-instructed, intensive study of the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit their job and just become a Bible student, but we need to, as oft as we can, we need to feed upon the Word of God, assemble with the saints, feed upon the Word, because I'll tell you, if you don't, you will have an unrenewed mind. Not might, you will have. And when one has an unrenewed mind, what does that mean? You're going to be subject to the senses of what you see. And when you're in God, you're in love. You're in God. God is love. And I'm in him. If I'm in him, I'm at peace. I'm settled. There's no fear. I know he cares for me. I don't think. I know. and I know he cares for me. So those kind of things, one becomes settled or more settled when one meditates upon the word of God. Let me just read a couple of scriptures and we'll close. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put on the new man. And one last scripture here. Well, let me read this the same scripture verse. Let me read it in the Weymouth translation, Ephesians 4:23. And to get yourselves renewed in the temper of your mind and clothe yourselves with that new and better self which has been created to resemble God in righteousness and holiness which come from the truth. Hallelujah. Last scripture, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, talking about receiving now, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. So you've got to receive the abundance of grace and you've got to receive the gift of righteousness. And then what does it say? When you do, it says here that you shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. So you've got to receive it, and then you've got to communicate it to energize it. It's quiet in here. That tells me everybody's paying attention. I don't know. It's just something to me. It's just stirring in me that I see it so clear. Things that I have, we all have, that I've not energized something, activated it because I've been complacent about something. I said, no more. No more low living. No, no, no. Christ paid for all of these things. They're mine. I receive them and now I have them and I'm going to do something with them. I'm going to activate them. I'm going to energize them because I'm going to speak them. That's the spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you got something. Something that, here's my suggestion. My suggestion is you get these messages and just feed upon them. Meditate upon them. Talk about them. Because it'll get down on the inside of you. And I'll tell you, when it gets down on the inside of you, when the pressure comes, it'll come out. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Amen. When the pressure comes, it'll come up out of your heart. Amen. And you'll say, where did that come? That's because you've been putting it in there. Amen. You've been meditating on it. You've been talking it. You've been communicating it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's become active. It's become alive. And Father, we take another step of faith. We begin now to receive by faith those spiritual blessings that hath been given to us. And we now not only just receive them, but we're going to meditate upon them. We're going to become well instructed, well versed, well rehearsed. And we're going to speak and communicate and energize and activate the promises of God in our life. No more low living. No more coming up behind. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Hallelujah. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed from the curse, but the blessings are still mine. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. I hope this stirs your heart to take some deeper steps of faith and not be complacent. Hallelujah. If you haven't been complacent, wonderful, then take another step. Take another step. Take another step. And reach out further than you have been. Glory to God. Bless God. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for clarity in your word. Thank you that every word is like seed dropped into the hearts. Thank you that it'll produce a mighty harvest.